Hey there, my name is Mei Ling. I'm a certified life coach and trauma-trained practitioner, and welcome to my podcast, Finding Freedom in the Hologram. Hello, friends. This week for episode 6, the letter S is bringing you the topic of self-delusion. All of you must be thinking, what? Self-delusion? Well, yes, specifically self-deception. Because self-deception can be functional, and I'll be explaining to you exactly how your brain does that. Because remember, your brain has two priorities. Number one, it wants you to survive. And number two, it wants you to survive long enough for you to have babies. So, really, self-delusion or self-deception enables us to accomplish useful social, psychological, or biological goals. We sometimes deceive ourselves because we need hope. And humans need hope in order to function. Because we use deception all the time. For example, when you are parenting, what do you tell your kids? Oh, you tell them that Santa Claus exists. You tell them to put cookies and milk out, right? Christmas Eve. You tell them about the tooth fairy. Why do we do that? Why do we deceive the kids? Because you want to give them some sort of encouragement, right? You want to give some sort of excitement, some sort of magic. It's kind of what happens when you step through the gates of Disneyland. Because humans love using imagination, fantasy. Think about all the science fiction novels. Think about how Game of Thrones and dragons. Right? We know dragons don't exist. So, in parenting, we use self-deception. And number two, the placebo effect, especially in medicine. I can't tell you how important mindset is and the choice to choose to believe that you can heal despite diagnosis, despite prognosis, despite all the statistics. Oh, you have a 2% chance of survival. You have a 2% chance of being able to drive again, to be able to see well again, to be able to see the faces of your loved ones again. The placebo effect is so strong in healing, in believing that you can heal. And number three, perception. So, studies have been shown that if you put a $10 wine in a $90 bottle of wine, so it's what they talk about, right? Don't judge a book by its cover. But appearances sake, the packaging. That's why companies like Procter & Gamble, Unilever, they spend so much on packaging. That's why when you walk through the departmental stores, packaging costs more than the product itself, but yet people spend hundreds of dollars for a face cream. It's because of the image, the thing that they go, ooh, this means quality. What does this mean to hold this luxurious, heavy perfume bottle in my hand? There's a perception, the perception that you are getting something that is of value to you. Your clothes, for example. Do you think, oh, is it more functional? Does it keep you warm? Does it keep you dry in terms of rain? Or do you think that, oh, I'm wearing these clothes. It's not just functional, but it makes me feel good. The brand, maybe I'm wearing Chanel, maybe I'm wearing Louis Vuitton high heels, you know, it makes you feel good and you gain the value that you choose. So, the world, human beings, there's a lot of information going on around us. And information in terms of light, information in terms of sound. So all our five senses, you know, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, all of these is information. Our brain simply cannot process everything. So we like to think that we are in the reality, that we are seeing and experiencing things as they are, but that's not true. Why can't we hear a dog whistle? But a dog can. Because there's a range of frequencies, just like the light spectrum. Our eyes, the rods and the cones, right, the parvocellular, the magnocellular cells, like they are very specific because there's a function. We want to see things that have movement, that have shape. We want to see things in the periphery of our eye in case a predator is like chasing us or following us or stalking us. We want to be able to see colors to tell whether fruits are ripe or not to be eaten. There is a function to this. The human brain simply cannot process everything because we will be overwhelmed. We would shut down. We will go crazy, specifically. So there is a very narrow range that is specifically purely functional so that humans know enough to survive and survive long enough to reproduce. This is how the human body, our human brain, has evolved and progressed. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the TV series Raised by Wolves. Basically, these are robots programmed to raise children and to protect them. If you design robots to raise children, you want these robots to experience fear. Because what causes a parent to tell the kids, "Don't run across the road"? Because you are fearful for your kids. So if a robot doesn't have fear, most likely or not, if they are responsible for raising the kids would die. So you have to program fear in these robots who have the responsibility of raising kids. You would also program mad love and the feelings that they would sacrifice, they would do things, they would kill, they would sacrifice themselves for their kids. If there's not enough food, here, you have the food. I can go without. You also want to program them so that they are sensitive. They can notice when a child is crying, when something is wrong, when they are upset, when they get bullied by other kids. They need to be able to tell emotion. So you would make the robots to have regular short circuits. Because robots normally make rational decisions. However, if they make rational decisions all the time, you can bet that these children won't last very long. So you would actually program and create robots that regularly short-circuit the rationality. Because humans do not make rational decisions. Humans make emotional decisions. So these are the mechanisms of delusion and self-deception. They are functional and they are actually crucial for human being survival. Because we want to preserve the species, not preserve the individual. Our brains are not designed to always prioritize the truth. The brains are designed to prioritize our survival. And if that means making us look through rose-colored glasses, then so be it. Because our instincts and emotions have evolved to solve problems of survival and reproduction. There is a term that psychologists use, and that is called naive realism. Because when presented with a story, we ask ourselves how we feel about it. So we normally put ourselves in the shoes of that person. We show empathy and we ask, if we were in their shoes, what would we do instead? Would we do anything differently? And then we assume, and this is when the naive part comes along, we assume naively that our view of reality is correct and that anyone who reaches a different view must be biased, stupid, or uninformed. As the comedian George Carlin once joked, "Have you noticed that anybody driving slower than you is an idiot and anybody going faster is a maniac?" We all have that bias in our heads. So, when we look through the lens of naive realism, it prompts us to question the actions of other people, and it can make choices that are merely different seem absurd or wrong. So our self-deceiving brain molds our need for meaning. Humans are meaning-making creatures. However, is it always healthy to see reality accurately? Some of you might be asking this question, right? And I can tell because I have been science and biology, chemistry, physics trained my entire life. But as you go through the world and make the world make sense on your own, as you do adulting, you know, as you discover, find things out for yourself rather than the rules of society, than the rules of parents that have placed all these rules, man-made rules upon you. When you go through experiences yourself, all of a sudden, boom, there's cracks in the walls and you go, "Wait, what? There's holes here. What am I discovering for myself?" Now, two psychologists did studies back in the 1970s, 80s. They separated the group into two. One is a healthy group, and one is a group known to be suffering from depression. And what they did was they placed them in a room, and they had a button next to a blinking light. And so they asked the participants later on, do you think the two are related? And the healthy group actually said yes. By pressing the button, it causes the light to blink. So they actually had a delusion of control because, in actual fact, the light blinking was totally random. It did not depend on the participants pressing the button. And actually, it was the depressed group who saw reality clearly. They were like, no, the light blinking had nothing to do with me pressing the button. So they saw the reality more clearly. And they were the depressed group. So self-delusion can not only be not harmful, but it can actually be beneficial. Because think about this. Nobody wants to think that they are trapped, right? Everybody wants to think, hey, I've got some control. That is why the word empowerment was such a key word, was like the word of the year for so many people. People want to feel empowered. People want to feel they have choice. Nobody wants to feel like they are trapped and they have no choices. Everybody wants to feel like they have some sort of control over themselves. This is part of the happiness equation. They want to feel like they can make decisions, they have more control. So self-delusion helps in that aspect. So based on this study, psychologists came to the conclusion that, maybe the healthy individual is the one who sees the world through rose-colored glasses. They are happier. As the song says, you've got to accentuate the positive. Now, UCLA psychologist Shelley Taylor calls this positive illusions. And look, we're not saying like, hey, go through the world totally in an unrealistic way where you believe like rainbows and butterflies and, you know, little puppies everywhere. No, just a sprinkling. Because when you believe there's hope, when you believe that you can rise out of this situation, maybe you're in a crappy job, maybe you're in a crappy marriage, maybe you can't wait to move out of home and you're 16, 17 working towards moving out of home, right? You want to believe that there's hope, that you can do it. Because scientists have found that you perform better when you have optimism and you stay happier as well, right? You avoid depression and low self-esteem. So, positive illusions are a necessary ingredient for mental health and psychological well-being. And think about it. They also done studies, and actually men are a little bit more delusional than women in a certain way. Like, for example, in jobs, in careers, they ask for a promotion or a raise more often. And they are also very competitive, right? They think they can beat the system. They think they can beat the other guy. So there's a function for this. Because if a man thinks that they are out there and they cannot beat a bear, they cannot beat a lion, and they go like, oh no, I'm going to drop everything and run the other way, the human species won't really survive very long. Right? There has to be some sort of delusional component to go, I can beat that bear. I can beat that lion. I can fight this. I can win. And that's how we propagate the species. There has to be a component where you think there's a chance. There's optimism. So, delusionally self-confident. And also, think about it. All the cheesy pickup lines that men used to have to do in bars. Now there's dating apps and online stuff, so that's a bit different now. But think about it. You need a little bit of self-delusion, of self-deception that, hey, I can use this cheesy line and this person, this woman will laugh and possibly give me her number at the end of the night. Because the human brain is all about function. We want to survive, and we want to survive long enough to reproduce. Also, there's another study. Okay, I'm coming with you at you with lots and lots of studies this week. And that is, if on a couple's wedding day, you ask them the question, how likely are you going to end up in divorce? Now, a perfectly rational person will go, if I do some research and I look at the statistics, there's a 50% chance of divorce. But if you ask that couple getting married on their wedding day, do you think they will reply rationally? No, they'll be like, hell no, I'm in love, right? My marriage will survive. My marriage will be the other 50% that survives. But it's not true, right? If you look at the statistics, there's a 50% chance. Another example is when I spoke about robots being programmed to raise children, you need mad love and sacrifice. For example, if there is a car accident, there have been stories and accounts of mothers lifting cars or lifting heavy beams off their child when the fire is burning and the building's like crashing down, crumbling down. A mother finds superhuman strength to lift something off their child. There is a delusion there. You are deceiving yourself that, hey, you can lift that. You have strength to lift that. And the reason why we do it is because of love, because of emotions. So basically, our hopes, needs, and desires shape what we see in the world. So how does this help you? Basically, at the end of the day, it comes to this. Our brain constructs mental models. And our brain comes preloaded with directives. We need to protect our kids and children and our loved ones. We need to run away from danger and we need to fall in love. It's kind of like, you know, laptops or computers where they come preloaded with software. Our perception makes our reality. So how would this help you? I'm telling you this. Reframe things to your advantage. Reframe thoughts that serve you. You might see the harsh reality. And I always tell my one-on-one clients this. Instead of saying, I have to, I need to, I should, I ought to, say to yourself, I choose, I get to, I want to. Tell yourself there is hope. Whatever you want in this world is possible. Tell yourself there's always a first time for everything. Tell yourself I get to choose. Tell yourself, you know what? I choose to see things this way that serve me, that make me perform better, that make me strive, that make me want to get out of bed, and that make me happier, that make me have better relationships. The way we perceive the world is the way we experience the world. Think about this and don't beat yourself up. If you love Disneyland, go ahead. Basically, go through life like a child. Experience the world like there's a first time for everything. Everything is amazing. Everything is wonderful. Be a child. Be resilient. Experience new things. Find joy and find delight. Basically, I want you to ask yourself this. Do I want to look at the world through the lens of a kid who's finding joy and delight in everything? Or do I want to look at the world through a lens of an old, cynical person who thinks to herself, oh, I've been there, I've been done, I've done that, nothing's interesting, nothing's exciting? That's not the way you want to go through life. Okay, I hope this has been eye-opening and useful to you guys. And I'll see you next week. Bye.